We begin the current Tav Masech. Let's get in Daf Pei Beis. We begin 11 lines down with the Tav of the Amud. The Gemara continues with the next Perek, Perek HaMagarash, the 9th Perek of Masech. Let's get in. This continues the similar theme from the previous Perek, discussing psulim, invalidations in the get, but specifically continuing on in the interpretation of the Pasuk, as we spoke about the problems of Chasav Law, then we spoke about Benas B'yad, and now we're speaking about Sefer Krisis, where it says, V'chasav Law, Sefer Krisis, he has to write for a book of complete severance. Our mission to discuss the parameters of that halacha regarding what's considered a valid sefer krisis and what's not considered a complete severance, hence not a valid get, and therefore not divorced. So the Mishnah tells us, Hamagarish es ishtoi ba'amar lo, if someone divorces his wife, and at the time when he's giving over the get, he tells her, Hare ad muteris l'chal adam, with this get I'm permitting you to go ahead and marry to every single person now, Ela leploini, except for that person, him? No, I'm divorcing you, but you can't marry him. So we have a machlekes. Reb Eliezer Matir, he says, okay, she's permitted. She's allowed to go ahead and marry everyone else. However, the Chachamim say that she's still forbidden. Not a valid get. Rather, Ketzad Yase. Chachamim say, what should they do? Yitlenu hemeno. Rather, he should take it back from her. V'yachzo v'yitlenla, and then he has to give it over back to her and tell her. And v'yermelin, he should say, Hariat mutesel chalad. You're permitted to everybody. You cannot create a stipulation in the get excluding a certain person. Because if you're doing that, that's not considered a krisus. It's not a total severance of the person from the woman that he's divorcing to allow it to permit everybody. And therefore, you would have to do it over again. Now, moreover, says the Mishnah, k'savei b'taychei, if you wrote that inside the get, which that's one of the important lines in the get, where you write Hareat and Muteris L'chaladim, and you write Chutzmi, you write Eloplaini, except for that person, then Ava Peshachazro Machke, even if you go back and you erase it, Pasul, it's an intrinsic invalidation in the get. It was not written as a Sefer Krisis because it was excluding somebody else, and therefore you wouldn't be able to even use that get, even on the subsequent time. Now, Ibai Elohim had the following question in clarifying the halacha of our Mishnah. Hi, Elo. This that we said that he's telling his wife, you're permitted to everybody, ela leplaini, only not for that person. Is that a terminology of chutzu, except for that person? Oy al menasu, or is it on the condition that you don't marry that person? What's the difference? So the Gemara explains. Aren't they both saying the same idea? The difference is, if you say chutzu, that's a term of except, excluding, and therefore, ubechutzu de pligra banu le drebelez, it's only in that case, when you're excluding somebody, then that's where the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. Now, why would they say in that case that it's going to be possible? The Hashayur lo beged, you essentially left over in the severance of the sefer krisis of the get because you didn't totally sever the bond between this man and this woman. I mean, there's two parts. There's Kedushin and Nisuin. Kedushin, what the husband does with the wife, is says, now you're forbidden everybody else. Doesn't even permit him to her yet. Just that now she's forbidden to everyone else. Then there's Nisuin, which then makes her even permitted to him. Now, if when he's divorcing her, she's still forbidden to one guy, that is leaving over some of his Kedushin to her, which is not being totally severed. So therefore, that's where they hold that that's going to be get puzzle. Aval ba'almanas moidule, but then what that would mean is, if the case of Ella means chutz, but if let's say it was just a condition, the Rabbanu would agree, since you're not leaving over anything in the severance of the get, because he actually the get is a total severance. She's actually permitted to marry everyone else. It's just that he made a condition with her. It's not in the get itself, but the condition is that if she doesn't marry that person, so that's only, like the Gemara tells us, midi hava kol tanai d'alma, like any condition, any stipulation he could require in the execution of the get, but it's not in the gerushin itself. The krisis is total, just on the condition that you don't do this, you do that, whatever it is, and this is a condition, therefore there's nothing lacking in the krisis. Is that their machlokes? Oy dilma, or maybe says the Gemara, almanasu, maybe the terminology of elo means on the condition. And that is, uba almanasu de poligribaleza adrabanan. Now it's going the other way. And it's only in that case, when it's on the condition that you don't marry that guy, where Rabbi Eliezer argues on the Rabbanan, where he says that's going to be kasha. Aval bachotz maidab, when you say, if let's say the word elo meant bachotz, or if you say bachotz, that you're excluding that person, there Rabbi Eliezer would agree that it would be possible. Tashayel beged. Of course he would agree that because you're leaving over some of the Kedushin through the severance of the get, which is not a total severance, and there Rabbi Eliezer would agree that's going to be possible. So what is their machlekes? Is their machlekes regarding that Ella means chutz? and therefore it's only there that the Chacham say that it's possible, but by Almanas they would say it's kosher? Or is there machlokes that the word Ela means Almanas, and it's only with there that the Eliezer says it's going to be kosher, but he would agree by the if of a wording of Chutz that it actually would be possible? So Ravina proves Toshima. Come in here from a Mishnah Masechtas Negayim, which will prove what the word Ela means, and then you'll know what the Machlekes is about. The Mishnah says, Kol abat metamim b'negayim. All houses could contract tumas of Negayim when it has a nega on the house. There's certain halachas that it says in the Torah. Ela shalev d'gachavim. Besides, only the exception is that of a non-Jewish house, as the Gemara shortly explained, because it says achuzaschem. The house that contracts the halachas of nega are when it's your inheritance, which applies to Jewish people that have the inheritance, not to non-Jews. Now, says the Gemara, says Ravina, Iyamet Bishleim Achutz, so if you say that the word Ela means except, so the Brisa makes sense, that it's telling you that the halachas of Nega apply to Jewish houses, except for non-Jewish houses. Eli Iyamet Amanasu, but if you're going to say that the word Ela means on the condition, so how do you read this Mishnah? On condition that there's not going to be Tumas Nega in the houses of a non-Jew, only then is who the Metamu Bati Yisrael. That's when we're going to say Jewish houses are going to have the halachas of contracting Tumas Nega. Now, what that would mean is, but if there is going to be Tumas Nega on the non-Jewish houses, then Lo Metamu Bati Yisrael, then there's not going to be any Tumas Nega on the Jewish house. Moreover, it wouldn't even make sense to say that. Is it even possible, like as if you're saying that that's the condition, as if that it's possible for non-Jewish houses to become with Tumas Nega? But it can't add. But Tanya, like we're in the Braisa. The Pasuk says in Mayikra, V'nasati Nega Tzaras Beveis Eretz Achuzaschem. Hashem says, and I will put a Nega of Tzaras on the houses of your land, which is your inheritance, which the Braisa teaches, Eretz Achuzaschem in Tamim ben Goyim. It's only that the land of your inheritance, meaning of Jewish houses, which could contract the Tumas of Nega. The houses of non-Jews cannot contract Tumas Nega. So what would it mean on condition that their houses don't become Tumi as if it could? It cannot. Ela rather proves Ravina Shemamino, you could infer from this Mishnah Masechta Negayim that the word Ela means Chutzu. It means except Shemamino. So now we could understand for the Halacha of our Mishnah that what they're discussing and arguing about, disputing regarding a case of like as if you said, Harei Mutez L'Chalodim Chutz Meplani, except for that person. With Rabbanu hold, that's going to be possible because you were Meshayer, you left over in the severance, you didn't totally sever, because in the severance you left over some of the Kedushin regarding that person. Whereas Rabbi Lazar holds, as we'll see on Amud Beis, what would be the reason for that? Seemingly, it should be invalid because it's not a total krisis that he holds, no, it's still going to be kosher. It is going to be a get, and should be permitted to marry those other people except for that guy. Now, however, first the Gemara points out that Masnitin de Loiki Haitana, our Mishnah, again, how we just proved that the word Ela means Chutz, is not like the following Tana. The Tana like Lina Braisa. Amar B'Yisra Rabbi Yehuda, he says that Loi Nechleku Rabbi Eliezer V'Chachamim, there is no dispute between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, Ala Megarash Es Ishtei V'Amala, regarding someone that divorces his wife. And he tells her, Harayat Muteres L'Chaladim Chutz Miploini. You're permitted to everybody, except for that person, again, which is how we just described it as the case of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi says, everyone would agree, even Rabbi Eliezer, She'ein the Mugareshes, that she's not divorced. Because, like we explained, the opinion of the Chachamim, because you were shayer, you left over in that kedushin, you didn't totally sever. Says Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, not like the town of our Mishnah, that even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that it would not be a valid gerush. Amar Nachlekus, says Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. So where do they disagree? Alamagarish ishtei ba'amala, regarding someone that divorces his wife, and as he's giving her the get, he tells her, Hareid mutesel chaladim, you permitted to everybody, al menas shalei tenasi leplani, on the condition that you don't marry someone else. Again, like the other option we had, what Ela means. So we said that obviously our Mishnah does not mean Almanas, because Ela means Chutz, as we proved in the Mishnah Masechta Negayim. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, who says their Machloek is actually by Almanas, not by Chutz, is not like the Tana of our Mishnah. So he explains, so what's their Machloek in that case? So as we continue on Tamid Beis, Sheb Liyazer Matu L'chol Odom, Chutz Mi'oisiyish. In that case of where the husband tells her you're permitted to everyone else on the condition you don't marry someone else, so it's just a condition, as we'll see. So she's permitted to everybody else except for that person, because it was a total krisis. However, Chacham say that even in such a case, she's going to be forbidden to marry anybody. So the Gemara explains, my time of the Rabbi Eliezer, what's the reason of Rabbi Eliezer? So very simple. Me did have a kol t'nai de'am. It's like any condition. The husband can make stipulations when he gives her the get. So he's totally severing. You're permitted to everybody. It's a total gerushin. But my condition is that you don't marry that man. Okay, conditions are valid. That's why he holds it's a valid gerushin. She just can't marry that guy. But Rabbanan, they hold here it's different. Why? Kol tnai di alma, regarding a regular generic condition that he stipulates on the get, l'shayir le'beget, it doesn't manifest as holding back some kedushin in the severance. It's just a condition. I want for the next 3 months you should nurse my child. You should help out my father. Fine. Hacha shayir le'beget. Here, ultimately, since the condition he made with her, yes, just a condition, but the condition was not to marry that guy, turns out that the get did not permit it to every single person. Essentially, this is the opinion of the Chacham, that that's holding back some of the kedushin of forbidding her to somebody else, and therefore it's not a total severance, and therefore it's not valid for a krisis, according to the opinion of the Chacham, even though it's only a terminology of almanas. That's how Rabbi Yehuda explains the machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan, again in the case of almanas, not like the Tana of Mishnah, who learns it in the case of chutz. So now the Gemara now goes back to explain the Tana of our Mishnah. Umasnitin du kimne b'chutz, our Mishnah, which we explained that the term ela, plainly, means to say chutz mi plainly, except for that person. So the Gemara asks, my time in Rabbi Eliezer. So it's very hard to understand Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. As we said, he's not totally severing the kedushin that he's made other people forbidden, because he said, you're permitted to everybody except for that person. So he's still holding on. It's still a gidabe. It's not a total krisis. How does Rabbi Eliezer hold that she's going to be permitted than all those other people that he permitted her besides that person? So Amar B'yani B'shem Zokin Echad. So Rabbi B'yani said in the name of a certain elder, he says, Amakra, we learn that from a pasuk in Devarim. It says, the Yatsumi base. It talks about divorce and then a woman marrying someone else. So it says that she'll leave his house when she gets divorced. Then she goes and she gets married to another man. So on that, the elder learned, that even if she's only permitted to one other person, because that's what the pasuk says, she leaves his house, meaning she's divorced, and she marries ish achar, another man, it sounds in the singular. So says this elder that even when he divorced her and only permitted her to marry some other person, you see she's considered divorced even though she wasn't being permitted to everybody. So here's the precedent where you see this concept of, yeah, divorce doesn't have to permit to everybody. It could even be for some people and not for everybody, as you see from the pasuk, l'ish achar, to some other person, not to everybody. Now, Rabbanan, they disagree. They say, when it says in the pasuk, hi ish, this man, this other man that she's going to, it doesn't mean because she was only permitted to that one man. It means l'chol ish v'ish, every single man. Yes, you could only marry one man at a time. So it says l'ish achar. But of course, the divorce was permitting everybody, because if you don't permit it to everybody, then it's not a valid krisis, and it will not be a valid get, because you said, Haret mutez l'chol adam, chutz mi plaini. So that's the machlekes, again, our Mishnah and the Tana of the Braisa, regarding how to interpret the machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer b'Rabbanan. Now, actually, the Gemara brings another source. According to the opinion of our Mishnah, we had one interpretation from Rabbi Yan in the name of one elder, but Rabbi Yechonam, he brings a different source. He says, time in Rabbi Eliezer mahacha, the understanding of Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, again, which was difficult to understand, if you're leaving over in the krisis, how is that a valid gerushin? So the first source was from the pasuk of Le'ish Acher. He brings a different pasuk. He brings a pasuk in Mayikra that says, V'isha grusha me'isha, that a woman who's divorced from her husband, lo yikachu, they, the kahanim, should not marry because she's a grusha. So on that, Rabbi Yechonam says, what you learn from that pasuk is, afila lo nisgarsha elo me'isha, even if the divorce was only from her husband, meaning, if let's say he tells her, Hareat mekureshes mimeni, you're divorced from me, but v'iyat muteres al chadam, you're not permitted to anyone else. So that's what's known as what's called reach haget. There's the scent of a get, which means to say because there is some element of divorce over here because he's divorcing her that she's forbidden to him, but she's not permitted to everyone and anyone else. So what you see from that pasuk is that even though he didn't permit her to anybody, but as long as he divorced her from himself, nifslam in that kohuna, that's a halacha that we learned that she becomes possible to marry into kahanim because she is somewhat of a grusha, like the pasuk says, she's only divorced from her husband, but not permitted to anyone else. So says Rabbi Yechonam from the fact that it invalidates her from kahuna, so ama havagita. So obviously that it's considered get, and therefore, at least in our case, where he is permitting her to marry everyone except for this one person, that she will be permitted to everyone else, according to Rabbi Eliezer, besides that one person. Because actually, as Tosis elaborates on this a little bit more, he says that since that even when she's only divorced, only from her husband, so that's the halacha that we know that she becomes pasul to kahuna. So if so, that when in our case that we're describing here of Reb Eliezer, where he says that you're permitted to everybody except for that one person, it must be, and that's the interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan, a totally valid get that she could marry those other people. Because if it wasn't a get, and like seemingly like you would learn that from the halacha of Reyach HaGet, that it's only there to apostle, not to be actually a kosher get too, then actually, it says Tesis, it would be logical to say that regarding the case of when she's only divorced from her husband, that it shouldn't even then be a scent of a get. Because what is it a scent of? Even if he divorced her from everybody, meaning that permitting her to everybody besides one person is not a valid get, so then it wouldn't have even made her forbidden to Kahanim when she's only being forbidden from him and not permitted to anyone else. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan is proving from that halacha, that it's considered a Reyach HaGet when she's forbidden to everybody and just being divorced from her husband must be what's the scent of. It's the scent of the case when she's permitted to everybody except for this one person, where there it's even going to be a valid get to permit her to marry those other people, again, even though the husband has not divorced her from everybody because he left out one person. Says Rabbi Yochanan, that's the second interpretation in Eliezer's opinion. But Rabbanan, they disagree with this source because Isser Kuhuna Shani. They say that Kahanim, we know that there's many different halachas and mitzvahs that are incumbent upon Kahanim that do not apply to regular Yisraelim. So therefore, the Rabban hold that yes, you see from this pasuk that we're going to make the woman who's only divorced from her husband and not permitted to anyone else forbidden to Kahanim. That's because we have certain stringencies applied to Kahanim. But you cannot extend that to say that even regarding Yisraelim, when she's being permitted to everybody except for this one person, that's even going to be a valid get. No, it's only as a chumra for Kahanim, but it's not even as a kula for other people. And therefore, they hold that if you're leaving over even one person, it's not going to be total creases, and she's not going to be permitted to even these other people. Again, those are the two interpretations in the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, either from Ish Achar, where you see it's even to one other person, or Meisha, even if she's only divorced from a husband, where it is considered a divorce. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer holds, even though she's not being divorced from everybody, because it was Chutz, there was Shire, you left over someone that's still, he's holding on to the Kedushin, it's still considered a Gerushin, and she'd be permitted to those other people. Now, the Gemara extends the conversation. Bayi Rebaba, B'Kedushin Heyach. What would be the halacha regarding this discussion that we have regarding Gerushin in its similar application to Kedushin? So let's say he tells a woman, I want you to be engaged to me. Again, as we said, Kedushin really is only creates Isser. It doesn't really create Heter. Kedushin makes her forbidden to everyone else besides him, but she's not even permitted to him. Nisun is what actually permits her to him. So let's say he told her, your Mekadesh is to me to be forbidden to everybody, and he said, Chutz mi plenty, except for that person. That person, you're not Mekudesh to me for. In other words, you're not forbidden to him because of my Kedushin. What would be the halacha in such a case? So that the Gemara explains, Tiboy li Reb Eliezer, Tiboy li Rabban, the question would be to either opinion that we just mentioned. Why? So the Gemara explains, Tiboy li Reb Eliezer, you could ask this question according to Reb Eliezer, because Ad kan loy kama Reb Eliezer hacha, where do we find Reb Eliezer in our Mishnah that says, even though you left over someone in the Gerushin, it's going to be a kosher get? That's Elim Shem Dechsi Bikroy. That's only because we have psukim that allow that. Again, either from the pasuk of Ish Achar or from the pasuk of Grusha Me'isha, that she's only divorced from her husband. Avul Hasam, but maybe over there regarding Kedushin, Kinyu Me'al Yibinyan, you need to have a full-fledged Kedushin, which is designated only for him, and not when you leave over that there's someone else that's still permitted. And if it wouldn't work, even according to Eliezer. Oidim, or maybe you say, the Yatzav Ha'isa, that the pasuk actually equates engagement to divorce. As the pasuk says, v'yatzav ha'isa, that she leaves one husband, she goes to another one. And since Reb Eliezer says by gerushin that it is a get, say here also by kedushin, it would actually be a kedushin, and she would be forbidden to everyone besides that other person. That's the question according to Reb Eliezer. And tiboy the rabbanon, you could ask the same question according to the rabbanon, because ad kan lekam rabbanon ha'ach, where do we find by the rabbanon over here in our Mishnah that they say that when you say chutz mi plaini, it's not a valid get? That's El Debi in increases of Lekka, like we've been explaining all along, because you need to have a total severance, and you don't have that, because he's still connected to her through that one person that she's forbidden to because of that little bit of a condition that he's holding on to, forbidding that person. That's why by get it's not going to work. Aval Hasam, but by Kedushin, Kinyan, Kolduhu, all you need to have is somewhat of a Kinyan in this woman to create a Kedushin, and therefore maybe it would work even though the Kedushin is not for everybody and only for most people besides that person. Or maybe no. Maybe since it compares Kedushin to divorce, the Rabban would agree, just like by Gerushin is not valid, so too by Kedushin it wouldn't be valid. So the Gemara tells us, Labasa Diboy Lehada Pashta. After Rebbe Abba had asked the question, he then went and he answered the question himself. And he said, Bein l'Rabbi Yaza, Bein l'Rabbanan, according to either interpretation, Be'inan b'yatza v'haysa. You compare the divorce to the engagement, and therefore, hence, according to Rabbi Yaza, just like it's a gerushin, it would be a kedushin. According to Rabbanan, just like it's not a gerushin, it wouldn't be a kedushin. Now, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, based on this halacha, says, Im tim tzolay me'isa l'drababa, if you say that you hold of what Rababa just said, in other words, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, not just it's a gerushin, but it would even be a kedushin in such a case, when he says, you're mekudeshes to me to be forbidden to everybody besides that one other person. So, even says Abaye, even if you hold of this case of Rababa, of his halacha, still he says the following idea. If Bar Ruvain v'kitcha, if Ruvain comes along and gets engaged to a certain woman, forbidding her on everybody else in the world, chutz mi Shimon, except for his brother Shimon, for Shimon you're not engaged to me. In other words, for him, he can still go ahead and do kedushin with you because you're not forbidden to him. You're only forbidden to everyone else. Now, uba Shimon v'kitcha chutz mi Ruvain. Now, the brother Shimon comes along and he does kedushin with the woman, who he still could because he wasn't excluded from Ruvain's kedushin, and he gets engaged to her, saying that your Mekadesh is to me forbidden to everyone else, besides for my brother Reuven. Umeis Shneem, and then they both die, Reuven and Shimon both die, says Abaya, even according to this halacha of Rabbi Abba, Misyabem Misla Levi, shall be able to do Yibum with their brother, Levi, Ve'ena Nikariba Eish Shneemesim, and we would not apply the halacha of what's called a wife of two dead people, which if we did, then she would be forbidden to Levi. Because that's what's called when a woman has a Zika bond, which comes from when her late husband dies without any children, to her brother-in-laws, to her husband's brothers. Because as the Mishnah teaches us in Maseches Yevamos Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis, it talks about the classic case of what's called Eish Shnei Meisim. How can you have a woman that's a widow from two dead brothers? So the Mishnah there explains, if there are three brothers and one of them dies, now one of the remaining two brothers does what's called a mimer in the Yavama. Now, a mimer is a rabbinic kedushin in the Yavama. And then that brother who did a mimer, he died. So that's where the Mishnah says this halacha, that now the third brother, Levi, can only do chalitza, and he can't do yibum. Because this woman is an eisha shnei mesim. Why? The pasuk says, umeis echad mehem. When it talks about the general halacha of yibum, the Torah says that one of the brothers will die, Yavama yavei leha, then her yavam will come and cohabit with her and consummate the yibum. So on that, the Gemara there teaches us that it's only a woman that has a zika bond from one yavam, but not a woman that has a zika bond from two yavamim. For example, how do you have that? Like this case. Because she has not yet left the original zika from her first husband who died. Because a yavama does not get her zika bond released from her first husband only through a complete chalitza or a complete consummation of the relationship with the Yavam through Bia. But here, she actually had another Zika bond added on, because since the second brother did Mimer, that rabbinically creates a tenuous Zika bond that he has with the Yavama too. So when he dies, and now they have two brothers died, and now it falls on from the third brother, she's considered an Eishashnei Mesim, and that's the Torah is excluding that, because she has to have only one Zika bond, not two Zika bonds. That's the general halacha. Now, what Abaye is coming to teach us is that even if you hold over Rababa's halacha, that this kedushin, where you're saying for Rebbe Eliezer, chutz mi plaini, would be considered a valid kedushin, hence, turns out that Reuven and Shimon, both their kedushins are valid, because Reuven's kedushin excluding everyone else besides Shimon is a valid kedushin, and Shimon now could go ahead and create a kedushin because he wasn't forbidden because of Reuven's kedushin. He also makes a kedushin with this woman, and now they both die. So similarly, that would be a case of Eishesh Neimesim. Says Abaye, even with Rababa's halacha, we would not qualify this as Eishesh Neimesim. So in that, Abaye explains my time. What's the reason? Because kedushin de Reuven ahanu, essentially only the kedushin of Reuven was really doing anything. Kedushin de Shimon lo yahanu, the kedushin of Shimon wasn't really doing anything. Why wasn't it doing anything? Because since Shimon said, when he was the second one to get engaged to this woman, he said chutz mi Reuven, so he didn't make her forbidden on anybody that was still permitted in her, because she was already forbidden on everybody else because of Reuven's kedushin. Now, when Shimon goes ahead and now he says, you're engaged to me to be forbidden to everyone except for Reuven, as we explained, the kedushin really all it does, yes, he could get married to her. So that's something that could still take effect. But that's not what kedushin does. Kedushin doesn't permit her to him. Kedushin only creates an issur to everyone else exclusive to this person. But that already was already created as by the Kedushin of Reuven. Because Reuven already made everyone forbidden except for Shimon. So Shimon's not really doing anything with his Kedushin. If it says Abaya, in this case, when Reuven did a Kedushin besides for Shimon, and then Shimon did a Kedushin besides for Reuven, and now they both die, actually, in this case, Levi would be able to do Yibam, because actually there was no Kedushin of Shimon. It didn't really take effect, didn't do anything. And therefore, she's really only the Eishes Hameis of Reuven, and if he dies without children, Levi would be able to do Yibam. Now that the Gemara concludes, so the Ela Eishes Neimesim Hechem Eshkachas. So then, in this conceptualization of this case of Rebaba, how would you find a halacha of that she would be considered the wife of two dead people, that Levi would not be able to do Yibam and only do Chalitza as the halacha of Eishes Neimesim? So that the Gemara describes Kegoin Sheba Reuven Bekitcha Chutz Mishimon, where starting off as in the previous case where Reuven gets engaged to her, where she's forbidden to everyone except for Shimon. And then Shimon came along and he got engaged to her carte blanche, meaning a full-fledged Kedusha. Where the Kedusha Reuven Ahanu Lemesra Alma, where Reuven's Kedusha helped to make her forbidden to everyone else. Again, going according to Rabbi Yez's opinion, like Rabba says, which would apply even by Kedusha, you could say Chutz and it's still going to work. Kedusha, and therefore it would make her forbidden on everyone else. Kedusha de Shimon Ahanu Lemesra Aruven. And then Shimon's Kedusha would also be taking effect, because it would be making one person who was still permitted to her now forbidden, because since Shimon's Kedushin could take effect, because Reuven left Shimon out of the Isra of Kedushin, and when he's making Kedushin, his Kedushin is making her forbidden. Yeah, on everyone else she's already forbidden, but his Kedushin is including Reuven, who's now becoming forbidden to this woman who already made Kedushin to, and therefore it would be considered Eshnei Mesim, and in that case, since there was Kedushin of Shimon taking effect, there's Reuven and Shimon's Kedushin, and that's Eshnei Mesim, and therefore Levi would only be able to do Chalitza and not Yibam. Now, related to this discussion, the Gemara says, Baya has his own question. He says, Omar lo hariyat muteris l'chol adam. Let's say he tells her, you're permitted to everybody, chutz mi Reuven v'Shimon, except for Reuven and Shimon. Again, according to each interpretation, Rabbi Eliezer or the Rabbanan, regarding what the halach is when you say except. So he said except for Reuven and Shimon. But v'chazer v'amal lo Reuven v'Shimon, but then he went back and said, to Reuven and Shimon, mahu, meaning you're meaning to say that, and that you're permitted to Reuven and Shimon. So what's the halach in such a case? As the Gemara explains, me, I mean, do we say that my da'aser shara, that what he had forbidden originally, he now permitted. In other words, when he then later says to Reuven and to Shimon, what he's telling her before he gives it to her, he's saying that, I know I originally told you you're going to be permitted to everyone except Reuven and Shimon, but now I'm telling you, you're even permitted to Reuven and Shimon. So essentially, he's not being Mashiach or anything, he's not leaving over anything, and therefore, according to that option, even according to Rabban, according to everyone, she would be permitted in such a case. Or maybe this that he subsequently tells her to Reuven and to Shimon, what he's actually doing before he's giving it over is he's actually retracting and he's actually flipping his condition in the reverse. In other words, maybe my da'aser shara, yeah, what he had originally made forbidden, which was, he says, I'm going to divorce you on the condition that you don't marry Reuven or Shimon. He's actually saying what I had said before, that you're forbidden, you're actually permitted. Umay deshara aser, and actually what I had originally permitted you, actually that you're going to be forbidden to. In other words, I'm only permitting you to Reuven and Shimon, and I'm actually saying that you're forbidden to everyone else. So what does it mean when he says that you're permitted to Reuven and Shimon? Is he saying that, oh, now even those who I said forbidden, you're permitted to? Or, no, that only those are you're permitted to, but actually everyone else you're forbidden to? Now that the Gemara continues and says, that Im Tim Zolema, if you're going to say, as we continue on top of Pegimel Maralf, that it's even my da'asa shara, that even what he had forbidden to, that she's going to be permitted to, so therefore he's not leaving over anything, he's permitting her to everybody. But then the question would be, let's say, that's if to the two people that she was forbidden to, he then says both of those names, Reuven and Shimon. So that would be permitted to everybody. But let's say, Reuven, mahu, what's halachah? He doesn't say Reuven and Shimon, he says, and you're permitted to Reuven. So the question is, Reuven, v'huadin l'Shimon, when he says that you're permitted to Reuven, it means an also Shimon? V'haidikam l'Reuven m'shim de pasabin. The only reason why he mentioned Reuven was because that was the first of the names that he had started when he said, those are you forbidden to. So when he's coming to undo that, he just mentioned the first name, but he really meant the second one too. Idim l'Reuven dafka. Maybe when he's changing his mind and he's permitting more than everybody else, he's actually only permitting Reuven, but still making her forbidden and still holding chutz m'shimon. Now, that the Gemara says, and if you're going to entertain and say that when he's saying that, oh, you're permitted to Reuven, does that mean only Reuven? If that's the case, then l'shimin mahu. What would be the halacha if, when he's coming to, right before he gives it, he's like changing his mind, he says, you permitted to shimin. What's the halacha over there? Would we say over there that l'shimin b'hu adin l'ruven? That, although when you say only Reuven, it means only Reuven and not Shimon, but when you say Shimon, it means Reuven also? V'haydu kamer Shimon, and why did he say Shimon only? Mishum nesalik mine, because that was the last name he said in who he's forbidding her, because he says, and you're forbidden to Reuven, except for Reuven and Shimon. But then he's saying, oh, you permitted to Shimon. And therefore he meant, you know, he just said the last name, but he meant Reuven too. Like Dimala Shimon Dafka, or maybe Shimon would also be specifically like just by Reuven that no, since he only said Shimon, he was only permitting her to Shimon, but still making her forbidden in Reuven. Now, moreover, the Gemara says, Boyer Vashi, he asks another question. Let's say he told her, Chutz mi Reuven and Shimon. Then, before he gives it to her, he retracts and he says, Af le Shimon, that you're permitted also to Shimon. Mahu, what would the halacha be in that case? As Rashi explains, it's a imtim tzaloima based on the previous questions. In other words, if you're going to say that when he retracts right before he gives it and he says, le Shimon, you're permitted to Shimon, but he doesn't say also to Shimon, so one of the options was, then she would only be permitted to Shimon and not for Reuven. So that is what Rav Ashi is adding on. Even if you hold that halacha, what would be the halacha in this situation? And that is, since he said the word af, also, so therefore, in that case, you would say for sure he's now permitting her in both of them, because af, a Reuven koi, when he's saying also, it's saying, what do you mean also Shimon? Meaning Reuven and Shimon, even though he didn't mention Reuven's name? Or maybe that actually, no, it's like when you only say Shimon. So even though he's saying af le Shimon, he's actually only permitting her for Shimon and not for Reuven. And this that he says af is actually going a'al makoy. Meaning, besides everyone else that I had permitted to you, but I originally made you forbidden except for Reuven and Shimon, now I'm telling you that you're also permitted to Shimon, meaning not also because of Reuven, but also because, just like everyone else, you're also going to be permitted to Shimon. So what's the halacha? The Gemara says, take you, let it stand. It's not clear regarding all these questions when he had said except for Reuven and Shimon, and then he retracts. What's the halacha going to be? Is it going to be a reversal or adding or saying that no, now everyone's permitted? When you say only one name and not the other name, do you mean that one and not the other one, or does it mean both? And also, even when you say af le Shimon, does it mean also because Reuven and Shimon, or is actually mean to say no, it's Shimon and not Reuven, and so on, also saying also, just like everyone else, I permitted to you, I'm also permitting you to Shimon, but you're still going to be forbidden to Reuven, you're still chutz mi Reuven. And again, the ramifications of the halacha, what that halacha means according to Rabbi Eliezer, that you'll be permitted to everyone besides that person, and according to Rabbanan, that actually chutz from one person says you're actually forbidden to everybody, because that's not considered a valid krisis.